Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me, as always, is the CrossFit cardio killer, Bethany McChesney. Because we all
I don't
do.
know if I deserve that name.
No.
You won between us the
I got
first
you this time. I
open
got you this
workout.
time. Very close. What was yours? Yours was
9:50.
9:50. I was 9:31. And but I had a no rep. I saw the no rep. There was a definitive no rep on the burpee.
You did.
Yeah, I didn't go down far enough. I didn't even notice.
How do you not notice if you don't go down far enough?
No, on the burpee, like I went down to my chest, but I didn't put my chest down to the ground far enough.
Oh, okay.
It looked more like a ram burpee than a full burpee. But I call myself on it. It was definitively a no rep.
Did you register for the
I
open?
did.
You did.
I did because, reason being, I wanted to do one time at least an RX workout and have it count.
That's fair.
And that's it. That's all. Only reason I did. Now I did look at the standings, and in my age group, I'm like 500th,
Out of
14,000.
That's very good.
So I'm well in the top 25% to move on to the next round. However, we do know that in the next two workouts, it's going to be some crazy ass shit that I cannot do.
Yeah, there's going to be
And
some muscle ups.
yeah, there'll be muscle ups and there'll be ring muscle ups and there'll be
And
pistol
double
squats.
unders and
Double unders, I can slowly block, log, slog my way through, right?
yeah, but not like CrossFit level.
No, I can't. But there also will be like thousands of people that will not even bother.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I think my plan is just to see what the workouts are and to, and, you know, just do what I can.
Yeah.
Right? And if I get a terrible score, I did a terrible score, but at least be something. And who knows? Maybe by some fluke or miracle, I'll actually advance to the quarterfinals, which would be absolutely hilarious. You know, I mean, in age group, of course, in age group.
Yeah. Yeah.
So since we're on CrossFit, we might as well talk about it. So what did you think of the workout?
It wasn't awful because I do find some of the CrossFit workouts just like a disaster for hurting my back and like just, you know, too much of one repetitive movement pattern. But I mean, dumbbell snatches and burpees, like perfect. We do this all the time anyways. And I like the structure of it. Usually dumbbell snatches are alternating, so to have to force yourself to do so much like one-sided at a time. You know, it wasn't crazy long. It was a workout that I could actually convince people at my gym to give it a try too. Like, you know, if you can't do the RX weight, pick a weight. Like, you know, and it wasn't movements that scared anybody because we do it all the time. So I saw this workout and I'm like, yeah, we're gonna do it.
And that was the same thing. As soon as I thought, hell yeah, like almost anybody can do this, especially if you scale it. Because I think the scaled was like
20 pounds for women usually.
20 pounds for women, 35 for men, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I think there was even a fundamentals, probably even below that one. But the point is, like you say, this one pretty much anybody could do. And
Yeah.
anybody who is like, you know, anybody who could go through a DECA, anybody who could go through, you know, could pull
Yeah.
this. And I think that that's something that's missing in the space. Is we've got DECA who, you know, pretty much everyone can do, save the box seems to really scare a few people and things like that. But
Yeah.
yeah, other than that, everybody can do it. Hyrox, it seems to be getting easier. I don't know what the
You,
slides.
oh, I see what you're saying.
It seems like, I don't know, but I remember in the beginning when Hyrox came out, it's like, oh my God, nobody can do this. And like the sleds take 10 minutes and now like sleds take 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So anyway, so you got that, but they're always the same. CrossFit always varies, which is exciting.
Yeah.
It's also so high skill level and so many different things that it is intimidating. And like you and me, we don't do it because of that. Because
Yeah.
we don't want to spend all our time developing these crazy gymnastic skills and whatnot.
Yeah.
Or Olympic lifts. But this, simple, you could put together so many different cool ass workouts. And I know you could Google them on CrossFit and just do competitions with those. And
Yeah.
man, it would be a blast.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a lot of fun. Mind you, for this one, what entertained me is I found out I was only like 20 seconds behind Isaac Sanderson.
Oh.
Less than a minute behind Rich Ryan, who did CrossFit for years. I'm like, wow, I'm really pleased with myself on this one. All right. Next time I'm gonna get him to up the dumbbell weight though, because I could have done heavier dumbbells for that. That's the one, probably the only one of the few movements I do really well is that dumbbell snatch I
Yeah.
can just crank
Well,
out.
I mean, CrossFit does have pretty standard weights though for certain things. Like it's always 50 and 35 dumbbells for the snatches
Yeah,
in the open.
especially the early rounds. Later on, like the games, you'll see them go to like, what is it, 70 for men and 50 for women or something like that. And again, that's so. So see, but anyway, I
Yeah.
liked it. Did you watch the actual announcement for it?
With Adler and Fikowski. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So again, I watched that and I thought I was pretty good, but I'm watching it and I'm thinking about comparison of the quality of the stream and the foot, all that, the presentation in the stream compared to what HYROX is doing now. And I really had that on my mind when I was watching it. And I made sure to look at flaws. And so, I mean, the big flaw I saw was these random pop-up insert commercial here that was never inserted. You know, it would pause for commercial break in the middle of an interview and the interview would keep going, but there'd be this just blank screen that says pause for commercial break. I was
Oh.
like, okay, so there's that. That's something that go. And then during the actual 24.1, the counters weren't working quite right up
Yeah,
above.
I did notice that. Yeah.
And I thought, this is something that we complain about with HYROX or whatever. And I'm just saying, what I noticed is that HYROX is getting a lot closer to the level of presentation of CrossFit, which is a big step considering just last year. No, let's say 3 majors ago.
Yeah, only the last two majors have we
Yeah.
had this
Yeah.
level
Yeah.
of coverage.
Yeah. 3 majors ago, we were slamming them
Yeah.
for yeah, it going to shit. And I just want to, give the devil their due. They put money into it, they put effort into it, and oh my God, it was fantastic.
Oh, it's now a spectator sport. And all the notice of things that like when they're on the ergs, when they're showing how far they are. So this last one, they were kind of messed up a little bit with it. But two majors ago, in Vienna, they were bang on down to the meter when they were on the ergs, and that just dramatically increases the spectators' enjoyment of it. Because again, when they're on an erg for 4 minutes and you're just watching them on a skier or on the rower, it's not that exciting. So when you can actually see the paces that they're going and the meters, how far they've gone and how far they have to go, it helps viewership so much. And like the replays too, we have instant replays, we have instant highlights. Like that's top level stuff.
Yeah, you got split screen going on, so you're watching leader run while you're watching the competition in the back end. They're focusing on races in the back end, like the race for the last qualifying spots, stuff.
Yeah, and that's what I really appreciated actually with this one with the women, because that race with Lauren Griffith and Amy, which was really that last qualifying spot, was r what they ended up focusing on at the end, because we knew Lauren had it, and after Meg and Linda had finished, all the focus was there, and usually we don't get that either.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. I remember sitting there and Ryan and I were watching together, and I'm like, I'm texting with you, I'm texting with John and Sue, I'm texting with everybody, and I'm like, this is the kind of thing I would prepare like a big party get together to watch because it was so entertaining. It was so engrossing. And having one, the little break, then the other right after. So, the women, then right, then the men. And it was just like, this is fantastic. It
We
was
actually I planned like a games night with my kids, and like we'll have it on in the background, but it was so entertaining. I was like, not now, kids. We are watching HYROX.
This is something now you
But
could
they
put.
got into it. Like they were into it. They're like, who do you think is gonna win? Tell me about these people, and like, who are you friends with? And so they got right into it too.
Like, think of this is like a gym night, big screen at your gym,
Yeah.
put it up on there. Like, oh, have fun with that. I'm just saying that's now I was looking forward to it a lot before the race, right? I'm like, I'm really excited about this race. The men's field, especially, we're going to have like a lot of new qualifiers. We're going to have lots of really looking forward to that. And often when that happens, you're disappointed. Doesn't live up to the expectation. This time exceeded my expectation. I was like, I was so good. I was just, you almost couldn't have asked for better. And I often will send Mintra and converse with Mintra and say, like, you know, this is an issue. This is an issue. I sent her a message saying, that was fucking awesome. Like, just, you know, whatever you're doing, stay the course. That was great. You know, I thought the commentary was good. Could have used Canadian content, but that's fine. But, you know, just no, commentary was good. They did a good job. Some interviews beforehand that Lauren did, really good job. Greg does great work with his stats. I'm thoroughly impressed with the whole. The camera work was well done. Only one time did they put a graphic up on a really dumb spot, and this, you know, but I was like, get that off the screen. Other than that, yeah, like a 9 out of 10. And now I'm really excited for the LCQ for the last chance qualifiers. So since we're rambling about HYROX, let's stay with it. What do you want to touch on first, other than obviously the stream being so amazing?
Should we talk about this, what happened, like who won?
Yes, go.
The women's race went first. And I mean, Lauren had such a outstanding performance at the previous major, which was only 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago now. So I think a lot of people were wondering what Meg was going to come out with. And it kind of the race went out. Lauren took it out again, but we did see her. There was some faltering with the sleds, and people did pass her. On the push and the pull, and then she regained her lead, and then that was it from there. But there was so much back and forth behind Lauren this time. And you really didn't know what was going to happen after that, which made it for a very exciting race. There was, Linda in there and Meg, and we had Viola. Lauren Griffith was in there. Amy, is it Velasquez?
Bevel Aqua?
Oh, okay.
I believe it's Bevel Aqua. What's that? It looks like Bevel Aqua.
Okay. Starts with a
50 year
V.
old Amy Bevel Aqua.
Yeah, so Amy and has
Four or
five
five
kids.
kids. Yeah.
Yeah, 50. So inspired. I want to be like her when I grow up too.
You better get working. You only got two kids.
Okay, not that part. Not that part. Just being 50, and I mean she's, head to head with Lauren Griffith, who's one of the younger athletes in the field. So that's just so inspiring. So it was such an exciting race on that second to sixth place, and just so tight from there. So Lauren's time was 5 minutes slower than the previous course, so maybe it was a slow course, but the other women put in such a battle, and it was so back and forth, so it made for a very, very exciting race. And we did have Linda Meyer, who took over Meg near the finish, coming in second, Meg in third, and then we had our Vivian in fourth, and then
Lauren
Lauren
Griffith.
Griffith taking it the final spot, which puts her now into the world championships, which is super exciting.
Well, she was the single woman to punch her ticket to world championship.
And if Amy could have got her wall balls, so I did talk to Amy after the race too, just to let her know like how inspiring her performance was, and she said she actually missed the target about 20 times
Oh,
with ball
Jesus.
balls. And I don't know if some of them we actually did see, but it would like hit it and bounce in a weird direction. So it was a very obvious hole in her game. So she knows what she needs to do.
Yeah, that's a tough one. The one thing as I was watching and I was thinking about this, so every race has been Meg versus Lauren, Meg versus Lauren. And this one no different, and rightly so. These two are like just titans battling back and forth. First two, it looked like Meg was untouchable. It was like, okay, what can anyone possibly do to hunt down Meg? She's just gonna win every major and walk away with the world championship. And then these two, Lauren has looked absolutely untouchable and is going to win the rest of them and walk away with the world championship. It's one of those where these two just keep upping their game. And I wonder if, like, this is the first time we've seen actually Meg drop to third, which two things. One, definitely wasn't Meg's day, but two, all credit to Linda Meyer, who has been amazing this year. Is Meg possibly either is she struggling a little bit here, or is it a case of maybe periodizationing and trying to peak for worlds?
Yeah, I mean, we can speculate all we want. I think at this point, though, most athletes will probably take a tiny bit of a downtime and then ramp back up for Worlds. So I don't know if she would necessarily be like high training. She probably did peak a little bit for these races. So I don't know if that's necessarily the case because there was likely a planned break after this. So it's, I mean, who knows? And there's a lot of things too that athletes really don't post publicly. Like she could be battling an injury or illness or who knows. And that Meg isn't the type of girl to post her 1,001 excuses as to why. So, I mean, what we do know is Meg's gonna go back and she's gonna be hammering it away because she's gonna want that world championship. So Lauren's bested her the last two times at Worlds, and I know Meg's gonna be on a mission to not let that happen again. So whatever's happened in the last two races, it's probably just gonna fuel her.
And I don't think we see, I don't think they can race the last chance qualifiers. I think only people who are not qualified can race those. I might be mistaken on that. And if it's not that way, it should be. And
Yeah.
if that is the case, the next chance to see them race will be Worlds, which makes that all the more exciting because it's 2-2 and that's your tiebreaker. And
Yeah.
it could be amazing. But like I said, with Lindemeyer, has been so impressive all year, so consistent, 3-3-3 and a 2. She, to me, is such a different animal because you have Meg and Lauren, who obviously are great runners, but also probably two of the physically strongest women in the field. And then you have Linda Meyer, who is much more of more of an endurance and less of a strength type athlete. And to me, again, it's showing that HYROX is changing a bit. And she's showing that you maybe need to keep that focus on that endurance and on that running and not quite so much on the zones.
Well, and we did see where Linda was really pushing Meg was on the running, and a couple times where she made some strategic surges ahead of her during runs. And some of that is also part of the mind games that people play with their competitors. Let them think that you're feeling fantastic and you make these surges. But yeah, I think it's also a lot of the sleds used to be kind of a make or break. And again, where you saw the strong athletes not faltering, and then our quick runners would falter more on sleds, and sometimes they couldn't make that up. But we're finding then it's not really happening that way like it used to. Everyone kind of handles that okay now. Yeah, so that running is just so significant now.
Yeah, and we're not seeing people doing 9 and 12 minute sleds now, like
No.
a long sled's like a 4 minute now. And that's,
Yeah.
I don't believe everybody's just gotten fitter. Yes, I believe some of them have. And yes, I believe they've adapted to it.
Yeah.
Also, things have changed so much. And I think that,
And just experience. Think about how long, like Linda and Lauren, have been doing this.
And a resurgence of Viola too, who's looking like a front runner as well. Same thing.
Yeah.
I'm a big Viola fan, so I like seeing her up there.
Yeah.
And our Maria Fetchik, she was down there too. And shout out to her. She ended up 11th. She had a strong run. Tough competition. She did say she had a rough go on the wall balls. So she said that cost her a top 10 spot, but she still had a good time and a good run. So
Yeah.
kudos to them for going down there. And a lot of other Canadian contingents went down there. But her obviously being the only one in the Elite 15. On to the men. And obviously the star of the show, Dylan Scott. What do you
Yeah.
make of Dylan going on here?
Oh, Dylan just looked like a different athlete to me. Like, just his confidence and his running looked so incredible at this race. Just untouchable in that field today. So the race was taken out very hot by Lucas Stora. And it was interesting the way so the turns in this race were much more of a 90 degree than we saw in Vienna. And maybe that was the difference maker. with Vienna just being so fast, was they had these nice gradual turns. So he would take these turns and he would surge out of every single one. And I just at the beginning I was like, oh boy, I think that's gonna take way too much energy if he's gonna keep these surges on every corner. So he did fall back, but not as bad as I maybe thought that he might have. So he was still in the mix, but yeah, Dylan took over, and when he took over, there was no one else that could stay with him. So
Watching him lap people who were like second and third and just looking so smooth and so confident and such a good stride on him, and
yeah.
then not faltering on any zones, just everything's boom, boom. I would say his weakest zone was probably the wall balls, and he still did great. And he took his time, right? Because he knew he's like,
Yeah.
okay, I'm okay now. I can kind of,
Yeah.
manage the gap, if you will. But he's just looked so dominant. And if you had watched, I don't know if you'd watch, but I watched, he had a personal stream of the race before where he ran the 55. And the way he looked there, I was like, oh my God, I have never seen him so fit and so fast.
So I think he tapered.
No way. He
I
raced the
think
week before. Dylan tapered.
he did a, yeah, I think he did a taper for the last one, and then he rode this taper, and I think that's why he took some down days and let his body catch up to like the years of 5 hours a day of training.
Yeah, he has such a base with that, right? So I think, and again, him and Linda Meyer, they're a mirror, they're two sides of the same coin, where they're proving that you don't need to be a 200-pound monster to do high rocks. And they're showing it, right? They're showing that, like, you can be this taller, slighter frame and get through it and excel. And I think face of the sport is going to change a bit. I think it's going to come down more and more to that speed and muscular endurance. Is that good for it or not? I don't know. I think it keeps CrossFitters away.
I think the volume of running keeps CrossFitters away.
Yeah, well, this will help. Like, I mean, if you could put in more power, that might help a little bit, but yeah, it keeps it away. So anyway, so we had Dylan coming in first. Sorry, so then who were the other? Now I'm trying to rack my brain. Who were the other? Because he was so dominant after that.
I do hope so.
We had, right now I'm going to have to edit this part. Who was second and third in that thing?
It was a come from behind in the second, and it
Oh,
was
yeah. No, it was British. Rich Ryan came third.
was the guy?
Oh my God. Wells, was it Graham?
Yeah, Graham.
Graham.
Graham Holiday.
Graham Holiday, that's it. There you go. I'm not gonna edit that. We can look stupid. Forget it. Yeah. Graham Holiday came in for a second. And his thing was the big, like, how many people did he pass? Because he went unbroken on wall balls, which for the men is much more uncommon. And
Yeah,
he probably
exactly.
passed two or three people on there. That was a great finish. And then Rich Ryan, who I think may have run his smartest race to date. He earned that third spot. And I remember saying it, I think coming into the sled pole or at the end of the sled pole, saying he's going to qualify because he's running it so smart. And he's got to where he's got past that. It seems like with him, if he's still in contention after the sleds, he's going to be okay. Right. And he managed to not only be okay, but to improve his standing. So, and securing his spot. So you had Dylan getting his spot, Graham getting his spot, and Rich getting his spot. Unfortunately, Colin Stieffer just missed out because of that pass at the end by Graham, which means I think Colin Stieffer is a front runner to get in on the LCQ. I think he's someone that could definitely get in, and I hope he does. What did you think of Megida finishing the run? Obviously, not at 100%.
Yeah, I'm glad he did finish. I know, I mean, this is where he's from. His gym is there. I think he had just so many people there that were supporting him that I think he was gonna finish no matter what. and have a good attitude about it. And he has been battling this back issue for a while now, probably since last year's North Americans. And yeah, I think it was for him just to show like a good attitude about, you know, things aren't always going to go how we want them to. I know he was hoping for some magic this time, and he didn't have it, but he has his spot at Worlds. So yeah, I think he was just putting on a good show to just show that attitude. And, you know, we finish with our head high, even if things don't go right.
I don't think he has a spot at Worlds, does he?
Does he not? Because he won North Americans?
That was last year's North Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so that just gave him a spot in the Elite 15 for the
Oh, okay.
So
The
yeah.
system is still.
It's very convoluted. It's a lot. It's a lot. So no, I think he does, but I actually think at this point now, and I think this might be for the best, is I think he's going to take some time off and get healed up and hopefully take care of that back so that next year he can come back and be a major player as he should be. I mean, I think he's got another couple of years of good solid competition. I mean, he is still fast, he is still strong, and hopefully he can come back. One of the not high, I don't know if I'd call it highlights, but one of the things I thought was really cool was as Dylan was lapping him at one time, you know, Megidda reached down to give him the low five and, you know, kind of sell him, go get it, buddy, kind of thing. And I thought that was great. So Megidda gets a lot of flack for talking a lot. And he does, but I've always respected him for his ability and stuff, and I props to him for finishing what obviously was a very hard race for him. So good for him, and that's good to see. So not only did Dylan do that, but then the next day he didn't taper for this race.
No, and this was equally as impressive to me.
Almost more so.
Well, really, yes. N less important, but more impressive. He went toe to toe with Jared Newby in the ruck race.
Which to me would have been like going toe to toe with Hunter in the regular race.
Fair.
I mean, Jarrett Newby, we have said it before, is the fastest man alive with weight on his back.
Yeah. Maybe 20 pounds just wasn't enough.
Maybe. But, and I'm still a little confused because I thought Dylan passed him on the wall balls.
So I don't know, and maybe we need to ask Dylan this, but he said something about how his hearing failed him. So I saw a video of him turning his head trying to hear the judge. I have a feeling that he couldn't hear the judge on what number he was at, and he kept going and he did extra wall balls.
Maybe. Hopefully we'll talk to him soon.
Yeah.
And we'll get that figured out.
Because then when he kind of let Jared go in, so I think he was like, oh, well, I messed up.
Yeah. But again, just being there with Jared and closing. He was closing on
Yeah.
him. The one thing though, it was interesting, and I wouldn't have thought, but it's tribute to how fast Jared is running with weight on him, because Dylan was actually catching in the stations and Jared was pulling on the runs.
Wow.
And it's
Well, Jared Newby is completely unaffected by extra weight.
I was watching that and it's just sloshing all over the place. And
Could you imagine the chafing?
it's like he wasn't even there. Didn't even slow his stride. By the way, as great as HYROX did with the coverage of the men's and women's race, they dropped the ball just about as much with this. Because
Well, and there was a lot of big names in the ruck.
in both men's and women's, there was
Yeah.
great names, and it would have been great to watch. And instead, we're like piecing together, like for the, I think it was for the, I don't remember, men's or women's, or whatever. And like Matt had three zones, and then HYROX had the last two zones, and nobody had the beginning. And I was like, what is, kind of trash is that? Like, come on, at least give us Graham out there with one camera doing the whole thing again.
Yeah.
Something, right? Like, it would have been,
Yeah.
because yeah, huge names doing it all. A lot of fun, the Moralia brothers. Like I said, Dylan, we had,
Well, and Lauren and Viv, one and two, and they
Lauren,
were like
Viv,
5 minutes ahead of third.
yeah,
Lauren
Carly,
Rotella.
Alondra. Like, there was a lot of good names in
Yeah.
there.
Camila Massa signed up last minute.
Lori Winkleman was in it. Like,
Yeah.
good names, you know?
Yeah.
So, drop the ball on that one. So, there's you go. There's my, gotta send Mitra a nasty letter about that. Yeah, so you might not have saw this. This will just bring us up. There was a bit of a controversy with the, because there was a race in Spain as well. And so a guy, and I'm not even bother with his name. Yeah, Sean, can't remember his last name anyway. He was racing for first, right? And going into the burpee broad jumps, he closes in on the first place guy. They're side by side. And as they go to start the burpee broad jumps, the judge tells him, no, you get back here, you get back here, and held him up. And nobody could figure out why. And he posted about it. And he's like, I don't know what's going on here. Blah, blah, blah. He was very upset. And what we kind of come up with is we think the judge thought they were a doubles team because the doubles was going on at the same time. And the judge was trying to tell him to you go in behind, walk behind your teammate while they do the burpees. But Spanish judges, Irish guy, language mix up. And then another judge comes in and they get it straight and he starts doing burpees. And understandably, he was upset about that. But then all his burpees should have been no rep anyway, because he takes a step after each jump.
Oh.
I'm like, those were no good. So I get his complaint about being held up, and he's got a point there. And then the next problem he has is he gets the wall balls, and he's getting a ton of no reps. And he's not understanding. He's not understanding. He thinks the reps are good. Angle in the video is difficult, but I'm watching the angle on the video. I'm like, these reps are not good. They're not. And the judge even comes over, and visually you can see the judge showing him, like, get lower. Even if there's a language barrier, they're saying get lower. So he lost it because he went into there at wall balls first and then he got passed. And so he's upset about that. But my thing is, yeah, his wall balls were not low enough. But where I do get his complaint is most of the other guys weren't either. And so what really happened is he got a good judge and a lot of the others didn't.
That's
And
frustrating.
that is frustrating. I mean, we've been there. We've had stuff like that. And it's like, so I get his complaint, but at the same time, he wasn't going deep enough. So it becomes one of those again, the wall balls are an issue with the judging, and Spain seems to have these issues a lot and going on and going forward. But I started to wonder to myself, like, do I not know the standard for this movement? Like, do I not understand what depth is? Am I off? Because he's saying it's good, and all these other people are, and I'm like, it doesn't look it to me. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I have no idea what the standard is, but to me, it's like, hip crease below the top of the knee. And people are not doing that. It's
I
just.
think it's getting better. It's at least with the last majors, like I haven't seen anything glaringly bad.
Well, this watch that Spain one. It's on their YouTube, on Spanish YouTube. Go to the wall ball, see. It's not great. I will say the camera work is better because they do their best so that you can't see it.
just show their upper body.
Yep, yeah, there's a lot of that, a lot of that. Can't see the target, can't see the bottom, just the middle, just the middle. So yeah, it's still something that needs work. And I still say the bump stop, 14-inch bump stop solves the problem. And I keep having people tell me, though, that's stupid. It looks dumb. It looks bad for the sport. I don't care. I don't think it looks bad for the sport. I've seen CrossFit use the A jump, they call it. It's fine. It works just fine. And it's fair. And everybody would be all right. Yeah. So that was it. The other thing I don't understand is why in some races with the grid system. Okay, so in DC, it was a full grid, right? Everything was on the grid. But then in like Vienna. Or was it Vienna? What, yeah, it was
The
like a
last one.
partial grid.
Yeah, like the rowers were not.
And neither was the farmer carry and stuff like that. Like there was some, what I'm saying is some races, even though they're in the grid, they'll have maybe the farmer's carry not be in the grid, so it's a fast one, or the burpee broad jump's not in the grid, so it's a fast one. And I'm like, I never
Well, the burpee
understand.
broad jumps are always in the grid, I thought, because then they have the lines.
No, but they're not always. Sometimes they're not. And that's the part that got me.
I understand the rowers not being in the grid.
Yeah, who cares about that? Yeah. But yeah, I'm seeing sometimes the farmer carry and sometimes the burpee broad jumps and sometimes even the lunges not be in the grid.
So the only thing I can think of is that the lines are different, so it could get confusing because the turnarounds are at different points.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know why, but it's one of those I'd like to hear the reasoning behind it. By the way, those lines are fantastic. What a great idea. One more thing about HYROX, and I was thinking about this. And I think one of the things that has, and we kind of touched on this a bit earlier, one of the things that has helped the hybrid take off compared to some of the CrossFit stuff lately is how many injuries are you hearing about from hybrid racing?
Yeah, like in comparison to CrossFit, much less.
It's exactly where I'm going with it. Now, I've actually seen one or two injuries, and believe it or not, it is from the box overs and DECA. But other than
That's
that,
the only, yeah.
other than
But
that, like,
again, that would just be kind of like someone was maybe like a bit clumsy, or it was, an accident. It's not really a fault of the movement.
no, I don't really think so. It's not.
Like it's not necessarily a high risk movement, like a barbell snatch.
No, exactly. So I mean, it's or a ring muscle up or a bar muscle up or anything like that. So yeah, I mean, I was kind of putting it that this is one of the big differences is like I'm training hybrid every day, and not only am
Well,
I.
and I mean, the movements in hybrid racing are, they're not putting your body in, like high risk injury situations when you're trying to do something fast and like efficiently and at like high reps, whereas some of the CrossFit movements where you're doing something so repetitively that's such a where it's centimeters one way or the other, and we can have an issue here with we're talking about our barbell snatches, overhead squats, even that ring muscle up, the shoulder positions. Like these are really compromising positions for joints that are like kind of pushed to their end points in some of these movements. We don't have that in hybrid racing. Like pushing a sled isn't really a point where you're gonna get an injury unless you have a compromise, your Achilles or something like that that's already compromised, which could it could happen in anything, but it's just not high risk movements, which is one of the great things about hybrid. But and I think too, the other thing, and this is one of the things that I've really liked about hybrid, is if one thing is kind of bothering me because of something, then I can just throw myself into something else. Like if I've battled with an Achilles issue, and so the rower hurts, running hurts, so then I focus on ski erg and assault bike, and you can kind of balance your body out in that way. And I think with CrossFit, because of the nature of it, where you don't really know what you're always getting into, you can't really let things go or focus, put your energy into something else to make up for something, and not to the way that I feel like hybrid allows you to.
Yeah, it was just something that occurred to me. I'm like, I haven't heard anybody come out and say, "Oh yeah, I got hurt doing a HYROX," or "I got hurt," like I said, other than a couple of people with the boxes on the deck. And I'll say mostly that's because of wobbly boxes, not really because of the movement itself.
Like I can't think of, except the box, a movement that would be like a high risk
No.
movement, unless you drop a kettlebell on your foot in a farmer's carry.
That is possible. That is possible. Mandatory steel toe shoes. Yeah, so that was something that can, so I only got one other thing I wanted to show you, and actually it was back to the CrossFit. I didn't show you earlier, but we're going to do a screen share for this because I'm going to show you essentially why we can't always trust CrossFit standings. All right, so here we are. You can see
Is this the open workout?
this is the open workout 24.
Someone did it in 418.
Now, this is what we're going to talk about. Okay, Mitchell Anderson, never heard of him, did it 418. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe that this is this man's fault. But however, if I go to, say, Colton Mertens here, no, his is good. So, do-do-do. Yeah, okay, so here we go. Nelson Figueroa.
Figueroa.
Figueroa, all right. Third place, 537, pending validation, right? So that means his needs to be validated still. Colton Mertens, we see, does not have that, right? Mitchell Anderson's does not have that, which leads me to believe their scores are accepted, correct? Or it would
Yes.
seem. Now let's watch this video. So here we have a video, and I'm going to assume that this is our man here because he's the only man in the picture of four people. Which again shows that this is not good because he's not showing you the dumbbell. He could be doing scaled. He
That
could
could
be
be a 35-pound.
me. Right? Who knows? So this
Yeah.
workout is supposedly done in four, whatever, right? Was it 4:19 or whatever? So we'll go forward. Here we go. We see him doing some snatches, right? This is great. Good. Nice pace. Everything's going fine. We're not going to critique anything here. So it's great. Well done, everybody. Good job. That's a minute in. So let's go. Here we are.
Oh, there's a toddler running around right behind that woman.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's the safest. That woman's getting a little late in her cross. They're getting her shirt off. That's fine.
Okay.
Now here we are around the 4 minute mark. All right. And he's, this is not a fast pace.
No.
So let's move ahead to here we are at the 9:55 and he's still going.
He's still going.
Yeah. Here we are at 13:29 and he's still going. 15:25, he's done there. Let's see here. We can pinpoint 14:35, still going.
So he time capped out.
It would seem either he time capped out. There is a clock right up in the corner at 14:15. No, it looks like he just got under the cap. Anyway, obviously, he didn't do it in 4:18.
But he just created a YouTube video that's probably been watched by 10,000 people.
Probably. But the thing about it is, I don't think he meant to enter that because clearly he's not going to show a video of him doing it in 14:45 and claim 4:18 and expect to get away with it, right? This is a mistake.
Yeah.
But there's nothing here saying that's pending. So this is why if you're worried about your score in the CrossFit Open, maybe don't worry so much. Look, there's stuff going on. I did take a look at this other one here. This is Carlos Ferreira Coloma and his video. If you're going to do a CrossFit video, this is how it's done. He's got the clock here. He's got his setup there. Comes over, gives us some good Spanish. I'm assuming telling us his name, what he's doing. And look,
And
he's
his
going to bring
division.
division, going to bring the camera over. He's going to show the dumbbell. There we go, 22.5 kg. And
He's moving.
he's moving, right? So what I'm saying is that's how it's done. This guy's is good. You're gonna take the open with a grain of salt,
Yeah.
which is kind of a shame. But who knows? I'm gonna watch this. I'm gonna keep an eye on it throughout the open and see if they do catch that or not. It'll be interesting. But yeah, just proof again that as an OCR and hybrid, we often looked across it and say, well, they're doing it right and we're getting it all screwed up. It's not just us. They're struggling too.
Yeah, and I mean, CrossFit's been around longer than our hybrid racing, so.
Who knows? Who knows? It'll be interesting to watch and it'll be interesting to keep going. Beth, I'm good for tonight.
Me too. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening and for, as always, for all your support. And until next time, keep getting out there and doing your best and crushing it.